Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
Malachi chapter 3 verses 8 through 12. This is going to be our foundational scripture tonight. Malachi chapter 3 verses 8 through 12. Again, we're going to be talking about regarding the blessing of making a covenant with God in our finances. Again, tonight, I'm going to be talking about the blessing of making a covenant with God in our finances. All right, here we go. Malachi 3, 8 to 12. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Will a man rob God? Is it even possible to rob God? What an answer, what a question, right? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? And the Lord says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Again, these are not my words. These are not this preacher's words. These are the word of the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, there's been a great debate in the body of Christ of what the storehouse is. And I'm going to, without getting too deep on this, the storehouse is where you're fed. It's where you are supplied with the nourishment that you grow, you're fed, you're nourished, you're edified, and you're encouraged. So for many of you, if you have a local church and a local pastor, and that's where predominantly you get fed, that's more likely that's going to be your storehouse. For many folks that don't have that luxury, maybe this is their storehouse, or whatever the case may be. But nevertheless, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Because, listen, a church, whether it be a physical building or a gathering place, whether it be a warehouse, whether it be someone's home, whether it be a rental facility, or whether it be a traditional church, it has, listen, there's lights that got to be kept on. The water's got to run. There's bills that got to be paid. There's benevolence funds that has to be met. There is needs and things that has to be done to run the house in order. And again, if you go to the book of Haggai, I don't have this in my notes, but the children of Israel made the mistake one time of neglecting the house of God with their finances, and instead they focused on their own houses, and they begin to build up, and they begin to do all these things with their own house, and they neglected God's house. And as a result of that, God rebuked them and says, you're putting your money in bags with holes in it. Now, we'll talk about that in just a second, and I'll probably elaborate a little bit more on that in just a second. So again, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. The only place you'll find in the entire 66 books of the entire Bible where the Lord says, try me or test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Somebody say, open the windows of heaven. Why? Because you'll see in just a second. And I will pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, I want to say this right off the bat, because I know people's going to accuse me of being a quote-unquote prosperity preacher. But again, most of you, a lot of you that I've named by names that I see in here, you guys have followed this ministry for years. And for any length of time, you will know for certain that I preach balance to prosperity. I don't preach the hyper-prosperity again. And in fact, I preach against it. Just today, our ministry, we posted an article where we shared an article with an individual from Charisma who did a whole article rebuking those who operate in filthy lucre. So listen, you think I'm going to be sharing stuff like that if I actually operated in that? Come on, somebody. Again, but there is a real true prosperity of the believer. Okay, if you don't believe that, then I'm sorry for your ignorance in the Word of God. All right, here's what the Lord says. I will open the windows of heaven. I will pour you out such a blessing there will not be room enough to receive it. But I love the next part. Ready? and I, the Lord speaking, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now listen, I don't know about you, and if you don't want to receive this, then I'll receive it, because my ministry tithes. I can lay my head at night knowing that this ministry takes a tenth of all of our increase of what comes in, what's sold in this ministry, and we give to the poor, give to the needy, give to the widow, give to the orphans, give to ministries, give to the evangelists, give to missionaries, and we give, we sow, we cast our bread upon many waters so that after many days it shall return. So again, and I know as a result of doing this, this is one of the reasons why God has blessed this ministry the way he has and blessed my family the way he has. Now watch this. I said, remember I told you, I said, say this, open the windows of heaven. Let's go. Now look, I could go all kinds of places here. We could go all the way back to Abraham with Melchizedek when he made a covenant with him before the law of Moses. And we could go in all kinds of places. But let's go to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28, verses, starting to verse 10. Here's what it says. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head. How would you like to sleep at night outside with a rock as your pillow? And he lay down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed. Now listen to this dream. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there were angels of God that were ascending and descending upon this ladder. Again, so I want you to get this picture. He has this dream. There's a ladder that's on earth, and the ladder reaches to the top of the heavens. And there's angels coming down and going up the ladder. But at the top, here's what it says. And there the angels of God were sitting, descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above the ladder and said, quote, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now listen, a lot of religious folks wouldn't even receive that, because they've been taught all this junk behind the pulpit that God doesn't want you to prosper and he doesn't want you to have anything. He wants you to be dirt poor. But Jacob said, quote, behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. And then Jacob woke from his sleep. And now I want you to hear what Jacob said. Come on. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, quote, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Notice we talk about windows of heaven, the gate of heaven. And then Jacob rose early in the morning. Now here we go. And he took the stone that he laid his head upon and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. In other words, he was consecrating this place because he had an encounter with God. Listen, friends, if you've ever had an encounter with God, you can name the place you were at. You can probably name the time that it was at, and you won't forget it. I remember 17 years ago, I remember where I was at, what time it was, the location, and what happened, because it was an encounter with God. And Jacob had an encounter at this place called, and he had his place in a place called Bethel, which is called, translates as house of God. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. So then, here we go. Then Jacob made a vow. Somebody say, he made a vow. saying, quote, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I may come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I've set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And here we go. And of all that you give me, come on, say, all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth. How much? A tenth. What does the word tithe mean? A tenth. I will surely give a tenth to you. Now, in case you missed that, let me get a drink of water real quick. In case you missed that, there was four things to Jacob's vow. That's not, and that, listen, I know all of our Facebook scholars and YouTube scholars will try to come on here and say, that vow, Brother Ricky, was only for Jacob and it's not available for the New Testament believer and it's not available for us. Oh, come on, get out of here with that unbelief. Listen, friends, the Bible says all scripture is given for inspiration, it's given by inspiration of God. The Bible says that all these things were written for our admonition. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus actually fulfilled the law, not destroyed it. He fulfilled portions of the law, did not destroy. Don't even get me started on that. But what I'm trying to tell you is, friends, that if God did this for Jacob in the Old Testament, how much more will God do it for us in the New Testament? Okay, but here's four points to Jacob's vow. Number one, so don't miss this, guys. Jacob has an encounter with God in sees the windows of heaven open. He sees a ladder ascending. He sees a ladder with angels ascending and descending. The Lord speaks to him. He gives him a destiny. And then Jacob wakes up and makes a vow to the Lord and says, number one, he says, God, if you'll be with me all the days of my life. Number two, he says, if you'll keep me in the way that I'm going. Number three, he says, if you'll provide for me my bread, my clothing, my provision, and my needs. Listen, you get on here and say, well, God doesn't care about our provision. He doesn't care about our needs. He doesn't care about our house. He doesn't care about what we drive. Really? Go to the book of Matthew. And he says, the Bible says, don't worry about this and this and that and this. And we're going to get to that. And we're going to break that down in just a second. But Jacob says, if you'll give me bread, if you'll give me clothing, and if you'll meet all my needs. And number four, he says, if you will provide protection for me, if you'll allow me to get back home safely, watch this. He says, then I will honor you, Lord, and surely I will give you a tenth, a tithe of all that you provide for me. And friends, I'm going to tell you, I don't have time to preach on this, but Jacob honored the vow and God did not rebuke Jacob. Instead, God, can I tell you something, friends? God was with Jacob all the days of his life. God kept Jacob. In fact, Esau was out to kill Jacob and God allowed Jacob to survive his own brother's wrath. God provided his provision. God provided bread and food and clothes and remnant and provision, and God met him all the way until the very end. And friends, if he did it for Jacob under the old covenant, how much more shall the Lord be with us? In fact, Jesus said, lo, I'll be with you always until the end of the age. The Bible says, listen, Jacob says, if you'll keep me in the way I'm going, my Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding, but all of thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy past. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. The Bible says, well, what about the protection? Well, I'm glad you asked. My Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. I could preach on and on and on about this, but let me slow this down, and I'm going to bring this home and make this personal. See, 17 years ago, when I gave my heart to the Lord, this was one of the very first things This was one of the very first things that God began to deal with me and my wife on. It was the covenant with Him and our finances. And I believe, here's the reason why. Number one, I believe this is elementary. Oh, I'm going to make some people mad right here. Listen, friends, you will never do, if you're in ministry, I don't care if you're an evangelist, a pastor, a prophet, an apostle, a teacher, whatever your calling is, I don't care if you're a missionary, I don't care what it is. You will never do great exploits for the kingdom of God until you come acquainted with and understand making a covenant with God with your whole heart, and that means your finances. The Bible says where your treasure is where your heart also will be. So when I first got saved, guys, I didn't know anything about the word. I was zealous for the Lord. I was diligent for the Lord. I was desperate to learn, and I was just soaking it up, reading the Word of God. And all of a sudden, I began to read about these principles that I'm telling you. And I remember my wife and I, the Lord had called us to a little place called Hodgenville, Kentucky, and we lived in an apartment. And I'm telling you, this place was, listen, and it, for the time, it met our needs. We didn't have any kids. It was just her and I, and it was a one-bedroom apartment, and it met the needs that we needed, but it was run down. It wasn't in the best location of town, but God met our needs, and it was a temporary thing for us to do that. But while we were in this little one-bedroom apartment in Hodgenville, Kentucky, we got down to the bare bones of food and provision that we needed. We were running out of food. We were running out of money. We were both working hard. Come on, somebody. And we were doing everything right, but we did not understand making a covenant with God with our finances. So I remember my wife and I went to a revival meeting, and it was Evangel World Prayer Center in Louisville, Kentucky. This was years ago, guys. This was 17 years ago. And we went to this meeting, and there was an evangelist there by the name of Damon Thompson. And Damon Thompson still preaching the gospel out of South Carolina, still doing the work of the Lord. But at the time, he was evangelizing there. And I remember this was the first time that I encountered not only just this aspect, but God was just moving in this congregation in a very powerful way. And I remember during the service, he got a word of knowledge, and he said, "There's somebody here that you've been crying out to the Lord because you are down to the bare minimum, and you've been asking the Lord to provide for you. And the Lord's saying, if you'll trust me with what you've got, and if you will sow into the kingdom, he says, I will supply all your needs and abundantly above and beyond." Now, I'm going to tell you, I knew when he said that, the Spirit of God dealt with me, because I had about $10 in my pocket, and that's all I had. And the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me, and I knew the Lord said, I want you to give this, and if you'll trust me and get..." Now listen, I'm telling you, I'm going to make some religious people mad right here, because they don't like this kind of preaching. They don't like it, even though the whole Bible is filled with this, and we're going to get on this. But I knew the Lord was dealing with me. Listen, can I give you a principle right here? The devil is never going to tell you to bless somebody. The devil is never going to tell you to pray for somebody. And the devil is never going to tell you to give to the work of the kingdom. Oh, you didn't hear me. Let me say that again. See, because people say this all the time. "Well, you know, brother, I just don't know if it's God telling me to sow a seed, or I don't know if it's God telling me to tithe. I don't know if it's God telling me to pray or telling me to bless somebody." Listen, the devil's never going to tell you to bless somebody. He's never going to tell you to pray for somebody. He's never going to tell you to do good, okay? That's a principle that should relieve some pressure off of you right there. Okay? Because the devil doesn't want you to be blessed. Come on, somebody. You need a shout right there. Because the devil's going to keep you. This is why he keeps religious people so mad and offended. If they would just shut up and calm down and listen and receive these principles, then God wants to bless them. But instead, they get all worked up and they get full of pride and full of self-righteousness, and they'll just shut you off. Okay. All right. So here I am in this service, and here comes the offering plate. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, don't let your left hand see what your right hand's doing. And I'm going to tell you, that night I understood that passage more than ever, because with my right hand, I was taking out the last $10 that I had in my pocket and wanted to drop it in and being obedient to the Lord. But my left hand was wanting to say no and restrain me from doing that. But guys, though, come on, the flesh was strong, the spirit was stronger that night, and I dropped it in the offering plate that night. Now, I wish I could tell you that I walked outside and the heavens began to open and money began to fall out like rain falling on the ground. I wish I could tell you that people came up to me and they gave me $100 bills and checks in the mail came flowing in and this and that. No, it didn't happen. In fact, here's what happened. We went home that night and the devil was beating me up from the time I got out of the church building. Come on, do I got a witness? To the time I got in my car all the way till I got to the apartment, the devil was just messing with me in the car. You idiot. You should have never done that. Now you're going to go broke. You're not going to have any money. You're not going to be able to eat. You're not going to have gas to get to work and back. How are you going to do this? What are you going to do now? You're going to have to borrow money from your parents, and they're going to look at you like you're an idiot, and they're going to tell you you should have never did this. And now I'm telling you, man, I know somebody's bearing witness with this tonight. So we got home that night, but deep down inside, see, the Holy Spirit's not yelling. The devil will yell, and he'll make a scene, and he'll make an uproar, but the Holy Spirit was just saying, trust me, son, I've got this. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now watch what I'll do. Just a very calm voice. So that night we went to bed. The next morning I got up. Now listen, we were living in Hodgenville, Kentucky, but before that we lived in Louisville, Kentucky, and we moved. And my wife at the time was going to the University of Louisville. And we lived in Louisville. So we were in transition from Louisville to Hodgenville as far as our mail. How many's ever been there? When you move from one city to another, or one state to another, there's a transition period. And listen, guys, I've moved from Tennessee here back to Indiana, and I'm still getting mail that is being forwarded to my old address. So we had it for weeks. We had to go once a week. We would drive out to Louisville and we would check our old mailbox. Or up in the where we lived in an apartment, we would check up there and say, hey, do we have any mail? You know, blah, blah, blah. And they would still be giving us mail. So that morning we got up and we're on our way out to Louisville, Kentucky to check our mail. And lo and behold, I pull out of the driveway and my tire's flat. Did you hear me? My tire's flat. Oh, so I looked down at my tire, and then, oh, I'm telling you, the devil was having a heyday then. Yeah, you idiot. See, this is what you get for giving all that money. You could have got some fix-a-flat. You could have did this. You could have took it. You could have this and that. Now what are you going to do? Now you ain't going to be able to get out there and get anything done. You ain't going to be able to go to the grocery. You're not going to be able to go to work. Now you got a flat tire. You're broke. You should have never gave that money. And I was getting mad. I was getting flustered. I'm still a baby Christian, man. Still got my diapers on. I'm still an infant in Christ. I didn't know any better. So I hear I'm flustered, I'm aggravated, and so I'm driving all my way, and my wife's like, well, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. I said, let's just get in the car and drive up and I'll see if we can. I don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to have to figure it out. So we got about a half a mile up the road, and lo and behold, there's this tire shop on the side of the road. I'll never forget this. And I pulled in. And this guy says, hey, man, what's going on? He says, looks like you got a flat in the back. I said, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I said, it was weird because I drove on it last night and all of a sudden it's flat. And I'm thinking, yeah, you stupid devil. I know what's going on. He says, well, we could take the tire off through this. I said, man, I don't have any money. I'll be honest with you. And the guy actually, now listen to this. The guy actually put some fix-a-flat in my tire because I told him I was going out to Louisville. I said, if I can just make it out to Louisville, you know, I've got my parents are out there and they can help me out or whatever if I can just get to Louisville. So the guy went out of his way, gave me some fix-a-flat to pump up this tire to get it to the destination where I need to go. So that, my friends, was the Lord. Number one. Number two, we get all the way to Louisville. Watch this. We get there and we check our mail. Now remember, the night before, I just gave all that I had in obedience to the Lord. We check our mail, so we've got this stack of letters in our mail, in our old mailbox in Louisville, Kentucky. So we're going through the mail, separating the junk mail from this and that. And all of a sudden, there's this envelope, and it's from the University of Louisville. And so I told Melissa, I said, I think this is yours from the school. So she looks at it, and so she tears it open, and she starts looking at it. I said, that looks like a check. And I said, but that don't make sense. I said, if anything, it should be a bill, because come on, if you're in school, you know what I'm talking about, because you're still paying on your student loans. Come on, can I get a witness, somebody? So, and sure enough, I said, it looks like a check. And so we look at it, and it's a check for $300, not $301, not $300.10. It was $300 even. And I'm like, so we're looking down, and it says in the descriptions of the check, it says this check was issued to, and it's got my wife's name, for the reasons listed below. When we look below, it's blank. There's nothing. There's no reason why this check should have come. So, of course, we did the right thing. So I'm starting to get all worked up, and she called the university, and she asked them what this check was for, and come to find out, it just so happens that they overcharged her for a semester or something like that, which to this day, we don't figure out how that happened. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. When that happened, that was the game changer for our lives, because I wept like a little baby in that car. I remember holding that check, shaking. And I'm telling you, that devil was beating me up for 24 hours. But when I saw that check, and when we signed that check, and when we cashed that check, I was sitting there in that car, and I was shaking, and the tears began to fall down my face. And I looked out the window, and I looked up in the sky, and I said, God, I'm sorry. And I began to repent before God, because I knew the anger that I was having, and I knew the doubts that I was having. And I told my wife, and her and I were sitting there in the car, and we were both crying. I said, don't ever let me doubt again, God. I said, from this day forward, we'll know that if we'll honor you, come on, somebody, with our, and we didn't even give a tithe at this time. We, at that point, God was just teaching us a principle of honoring him with our finances. But guys, I'm going to tell you, as we took that $300 and sold $30 into his kingdom, God did more with $270 than we would have ever done with $300. And we, for 17 years, guys, listen, I'm going to sit here, and I'm not going to apologize for God's blessings, because the Lord told me one time, he says, don't you ever apologize for my blessing. I said, God, I said, I'm sorry, because there was a time when I didn't want to talk around, because I know how Christians are, man. I'm telling you, they'll beat you up for being blessed. They'll beat you up if you begin to testify of God's goodness. Listen, somebody, you watch, guys. I'm going to tell you right now, let me tell you a truth right here. You ready for this? Listen, there's more people that want to see you fail than succeed. When you get blessed, somebody gives you a car, somebody blesses and pays off your house, somebody sows into you, gives you a check. You want to know the hearts of real Christian brothers and sisters? Watch how they react. Oh, sure. They'll be like Job's three friends, and they'll show up when you're in the gutter, and when you're in the dirt, and when you're in the ditch, and when you're in the valley, they'll all surround you and tell you how you've sinned and how you've done this and how you do that. But you let God start blessing you, and you let God start promoting you, and you let God start increasing you, and you let God start putting favor upon you, and you'll really see who's with you and who's not with you. In fact, in reality, when Jenny gets blessed, or Patricia gets blessed, or Patsy gets blessed, or Denise gets blessed, or Lisa gets blessed, or Jeanette gets blessed, and somebody gets a healing, somebody gets a promotion, somebody gets a breakthrough, somebody's marriage gets saved, we should not get jealous and envious. We should be able to celebrate. We should be able to cheer them on. And we should be clapping and praising God, because the same Father that did it for them is the same Father that can do it for us. Friends, what am I talking about? I'm talking about, if the same God blessed Jacob and made a covenant with Jacob and honored him in these four points of his vow, then surely God can do it with you. Well, you know, brother, nowhere in the New Testament does the Lord say anything about tithing. Wrong. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. Here's what it says. It says, here, mortal men receive tithes. I don't know. Listen, I'm not an English major, but when it says here, mortal men receive our tithes, I think it's talking about present tense. I think it's talking about people like people in the church, people in the house of God, people here, present tense, people receive tithes. And then it says, but there, who's it pointing to? It's pointing to the heaven of heavens. It's pointing to the throne room of God. It's pointing at the top of the ladder. I feel the anointing where the Lord was when he revealed himself to Jacob. Who was at the top of the ladder where the angels were ascending and descending? It was the Lord Almighty. And it says then, but there he receives them of whom is witnessed that he lives. Oh, you didn't hear it. Let me break this down. In other words, when you sow your seed, when you honor the Lord with your tithe here on earth, it is going, yes, it goes into offering plates. Yes, you give online. Yes, you write a check. Yes, you do this. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a God in heaven who sees what you're doing. He records it in a book, and he will reward you by opening the windows of heaven. And I love what it says right here. It says, of whom is witness that he lives. In other words, Holy Ghost, let me get this across. And I feel the anointing messing with me on this. See, the very fact that you trust God in your tithes and your finances is a witness to everybody out there that you believe that he lives. Golly, can you all get that? That is so powerful right there. In other words, if I didn't believe that there was a Lord in heaven who Jacob saw and made a vow to in my finances, why in the world would I tithe? But the fact that I give a tenth of all my increase bears witness that he lives. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 23:23. You say, why are you shouting, Pastor? Because I'm excited. Listen, if you can catch this, friends, I'm telling you, it will revolutionize your life and change your life. I'm trying to help somebody. Listen, I'm not trying to get your money. People say, well, you're just trying to get my money. No, listen, guys, I don't do that. We don't play manipulation. Listen, I don't care if you sow a penny into my ministry. Listen, I'm not doing this for that. I'm doing this to help you. I'm trying to set some people free. Okay? Listen, Matthew 23:23 in the New Living Translation. Listen what Jesus said. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites? For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faith. You ready for the next part? Listen what Jesus said, words in red. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Did you hear that? Jesus said to the Pharisees, yes, you should tithe, but justice, mercy, and faith avails this. In other words, it's above this in priority. In other words, he's saying, it don't matter if you tithe all this stuff and you're shrewd and you don't give justice to men, you don't sow mercy, and you have no faith, then you're writing a blank check. Your check's going to bounce. No pun intended. All right. Proverbs 3:9-11. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Matthew 6:25-33. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink. Worry about your body, what you're going to put on. And he goes on, I don't have time to get into the whole details. He says, look at the birds of the air. I provide for them. Look at this. Why are you worrying about this? It's not going to add anything to your value. And he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What we're going to drink? What are we going to wear? And he says, for all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Somebody say things. God is not interested in your things. I don't agree with that. Because the Bible says your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33. But what's the key, brother? Here's the key. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now listen, how are you going to seek the kingdom of God and leave your finances out of it? That don't make no sense. Again, you can go to church, you can attend church, you can read your Bible, you can pray early in the morning, you can do all these things, but you're not willing to sow into His kingdom, you're not willing to fund a missionary, you're not willing to give to the poor and give to the needy and give to the orphan and give to the widows, huh? Come on, I'm preaching whether you want to hear it or not. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Watch this. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Well, that sounds like some prosperity gospel. No, it's called the Word of God. I'm sorry if it offends you. And if you don't like that, you can rip it right out of the pages, because we're good about doing that today. We live in a time now where people don't even preach the whole Bible. They just preach the portions that they want to not offend anybody and to not convict anybody and to make everybody feel good about themselves. So if you're one of those individuals and you don't like that passage of Scripture, just rip it on out and you can have the rest of it, okay? But now listen what Paul told the church of Philippians. You may not want to listen to this too, so you may want to close your ears on this, because you're really going to get mad when you hear about what Paul told the church of Philippians, all right? Here's what he told the church of Philippi. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. This is Paul speaking. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need. For now listen what Paul said. For I have learned in whatever state I am, this is Paul speaking, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's the source. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Did you hear that? Paul is commending the church of Philippi because they did well in sharing his distress. But not only did they do that, watch this. Verse 15, ready? Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. I had somebody tell me one time, I tell you what, that prosperity gospel, nowhere in the Bible does it talk about giving and receiving. Uh-oh, yes it does, sir. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul said, no church has shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. And in case you don't believe that's in there, go check your 1611 KJVO. Yes, that's the King James Version only, and it's going to tell you the same thing. So, yes, Paul did mention giving and receiving. He said, no church, but you only. The church of Philippi is the only church to share with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Now, listen to the rest of this. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Did you hear that? The church of Philippi. So here he is in the church of Thessalonica, and he didn't say that the church of Thessalonica blessed him in his needs and his necessities, but it was the church of Philippi that sent him an offering to meet his necessities. Verse 17. Oh, listen. What? Well, I don't know about that. Listen to verse 17. Listen to what Paul said. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Guys, I could shut the Bible. I could shut it down right here. And we could call it a night right there. Listen what Paul said. Paul's saying, I'm not seeking your offering. I'm not seeking your seed. I'm not seeking your gift. He said, I'm not seeking the gift, but I'm seeking the fruit that abounds to your account. In other words, Paul is saying that if you remember, Paul is the one who said it is more of a blessing, come on somebody, that to what? Give than it is to receive. Because Paul understood the principles that I've been trying to tell you. He knew that if he could teach this church to give and to meet the needs of the ministers of the gospel and sow the seed, tithe, and give offerings, then they would be blessed as a result of it. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. In other words, Paul's saying, I don't need your gift. I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. Who were they sent from? The church of Philippi. What did they send? An offering, blessing, provision. To who? Paul. What was Paul? A minister. Okay? And he says, I've been blessed by this. It was sent to me. And listen to what Paul called the offering. He said it was a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Did you know that when you give your tithes and offerings to the Lord and to his kingdom and to the work, it's a form of worship. Let me say that again. When you give of your resources, give of your money to the kingdom work, it is a well-pleasing form of worship to God. And I love verse 19, Philippians 4:19. And this is all in context. Come on, all the contextual preachers out there that always want to say, well, brother, you need to preach this in context. All we have. And we're going to get to Philippians 4:19. After all that, let's get to Philippians 4:19. Listen to what Paul says. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, how's God going to supply all your need according to his riches and glory? When we sow into his need, when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness with our finances, giving to the work of the kingdom, sowing into God's work. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9:1-10. I know I'm going a little bit long tonight, but I'm trying to teach you something here tonight. All right? Here's what it says. This is Paul again speaking to the church of Corinth. He says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand. Notice this. He says, we're going to prepare a gift before they ever get here, which you had previously. By the way, when I used to pastor, when I pastored the church out in Milltown, Indiana, whenever we would have a guest speaker come, I took up an offering for the guest speaker a week before he ever got there. I told my church, based on this principle of the Word of God, I said, we're going to take up an offering beforehand so we can have a gift ready so that when he comes, he will not be burdened and he will not, because I believe in honor and I believe in honoring the man of God. Okay. Now watch this. Here's why. He says, prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Did you catch? In other words, he didn't want the people giving out of grudging obligations, but he wanted them to be, come on, let me read on. I'll show you why. But this I say, here it is. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, how's the grace abound towards them? Through their giving. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, listen. Verse 10. Now, may he... Now here again, I tell you, I've heard this too. Again, here's another thing. I tell you, nowhere in the Bible does it talk about a seed and a sower. Really? Verse 10, 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. In other words, listen, guys, I've been praying before. When there's been times years ago when I worked, my wife's been a nurse. I worked in construction. I worked at a construction job, and there was word of people getting laid off and this and that. I said, God, and this was my prayer. I said, God, if I don't get a paycheck, then I'm not going to have seed to sow, and I'm not going to be able to sow into your kingdom. And you said in your word in 2 Corinthians that you would multiply my seed that I may give more. Whew. So when I begin to pray, now you say that's a bold prayer. Yes, it is. It is a bold prayer, but it's the word of God. Now, when I first started pastoring, I'm almost done, guys, I promise. I'm almost done. Give me 10 more minutes and we'll close. And we're going to pray for some people. When I took over this church in Milltown, Indiana, I began to preach on tithing and giving. I'm going to tell you, there was people that got mad. Religious devils began to manifest. There was people that got there was people that walked out. But there was an 80-year-old woman in that church. I'll never forget this. 80 years old. And she came up to me after church and she said, Pastor, she said, I'm 80 years old. And this is the first time I've ever heard a teaching that you taught on. I taught this very stuff I'm teaching you tonight. She said, this is the first time I've ever heard anybody teach on tithing and making a covenant with God. And she said, I felt something leap on the inside of me. 80 years old. And she said, I felt something. And she's on a fixed income. She said, I felt something leap on the inside of me. She says, I want to try God. Your word, you said in the Bible in Malachi, you said that God said, try me in this and see if I will not open to you the windows of heaven. She's 80 years old. She said, I'm on a fixed income. She said, but I'm going to test God. I'm going to try this. Listen, I didn't get nervous. I didn't get nervous a bit because I'm not the one putting on trial here. It's God. It's God's word that will defend himself. So she, 80 years old on a fixed income, she began to tithe the next check she got on her fixed income. She began to tithe. Then the next month came. She kept tithing. She kept tithing. 2 or 3 months later, she got up. We began to do a testimony service. She stood up in the back of the church and she said, give me that microphone. I want to testify. I said, go ahead, sister. Go ahead and testify. She said, a couple months ago or several months ago, she said, Pastor Ricky got up and encouraged us to tithe and begin to make a covenant with God in our finances. She said, I don't know how God did it. She said, it don't make no sense in the natural. She said, here I am on a fixed income. She goes, I know exactly what my bills are every month and how much comes in, and I know how much goes out. She said, I took a step of faith and began to tithe out of a Social Security check, out of a fixed income. And she said, all of a sudden, she goes, 1 month, she said, all of a sudden I got a phone call and they gave me a discount on this bill, and then the next month I got a rebate on this bill, and the next month I got an unexpected check over here. And she said, after about 3 months, she said, after all said and done, she says, I actually have more money now at the end of the month than I ever did before I was tithing. 80 years of age, this woman began to try God. She began to tithe and seek his kingdom, and God began to open the windows of heaven. And when she said that, friends, it began to set people free in the congregation. And those who were willing to receive it were blessed of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I know people preach against money. They preach against tithing. They preach against offerings. They preach against any man or woman of God being any remotely prosperous whatsoever. You know, it's amazing. And I'm going to say this. Let's go ahead and make some more religious people mad. It's amazing how we've got sports figures. I know that we're in the NBA finals, and I like watching some of these games too. Do you know how much LeBron James makes? It's amazing how these sports figures make the amount of money that they have and live the lifestyles they have, and nobody has any problem with that whatsoever because they perform what they're doing. But by God, you let a man of God or a woman of God or someone who's doing the kingdom work of God, they're helping the poor, helping the needy, they're preaching the gospel around the world. Listen, I'm not talking about all this foolishness where they're taking your money and they've got 17 homes and they've got 45 vehicles and they've got 17 personal jobs. I'm not talking about that garbage. I'm talking about they're doing the actual work of the kingdom. They're honest at the end of the day. Listen, and they're blessed. It's amazing how you let them people get blessed and people in the church get mad about it. Listen, I said this before and I'll say it again. I'll never back down on it. If you really read the Bible, you'll discover that people like Abraham, people like Job, people like Solomon, and people like Lot, these men were all blessed. They were very prosperous. They were very wealthy individuals. And if Abraham, Job, Solomon, or Lot, if any of these brothers had a television program or an internet program, if they're doing what I'm doing today, they would be labeled as heretics, they'd be labeled as charlatans, and they'd be labeled as false prophets because your Bible says they were very wealthy and they were very prosperous. But how did Jacob become prosperous? How did Abraham become prosperous? How did Job become prosperous? How did Solomon become prosperous? How did Lot be blessed? Because they understood the principles that I'm trying to teach you today. Because they sought first the kingdom of heaven and they made a covenant with God. Because they saw their forefathers do it, they saw their grandfathers do it, they saw their mothers do it, they saw their fathers do it, and it went to four generations. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Look, you're looking at somebody right now. I've got a 9-year-old son and I've got a 2-year-old son. Every time they get any money, whether it's birthday money, a gift, they get this, any kind of money they get, they immediately, they know they're going to tithe. They bring their tithe to church and they give their tithe, and I tell them every time, I say, you watch God. Watch what God will begin to do in your life at an early age. God will bless you. He'll give you favor in school. He'll give you favor in college. He'll give you a favor. And we're not just talking about money, but listen, Jacob was blessed not only financially, but God protected him supernaturally. God kept him warm. God kept him safe. God blessed him exceedingly, abundantly, above all that he could even ask or think, according to the very power that works within him. All right? Now, let me say this one last thing, and I'm going to close, or I'm going to be accused. I'm going to have to repent for lying. Matthew 14. Come on, every preacher lies. Every pastor, every preacher lies like a dog every time they get up and say, I'm getting ready to close. I'm getting ready to close. Some of y'all get that later. Listen, Matthew 14, but I really am getting ready to close, I promise. Matthew 14 and 13 through 21. This is good right here. Okay, I said all that to get to this. Why? Brother Ricky, why does God want me to prosper? Why would God do according to what Malachi says and bless me to the point where I don't have enough to contain? I'm going to give you the answer. Ready? Matthew 14, 13 through 21. When Jesus, here's what it says. And when Jesus, let me start at verse 14, makes more sense. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, quote, this is a deserted place and the hour is getting late. Yes, it is, Lord. It's 10 o'clock. I've been on here an hour. It is getting late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. Verse 16. But Jesus said to them, quote, they do not need to go away. You, listen to this. Jesus speaks to the disciples. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. And then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. And those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now let me break this down. I got to go fast, guys. So listen, you better watch, go back and listen on this YouTube so you can get the notes for this, because I got to get get this finished for because I'm gone an hour, almost an hour, over an hour. Jesus, here's what it says. Okay, number one, Jesus was moved with compassion to help the poor and needy with the gospel. Okay, so number one, we've got to have compassion upon the lost. If we're going to preach this, we better have compassion. Number two, Jesus asked the disciples to minister to the people with substance. Number three, the disciples replied, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. In other words, the need was greater than the supply. Let me say that again. The need was greater than the supply. Number four, Jesus said, give me what you have. Come on, remember the story of the widow and the mite? There was a story in your New Testament of the Bible where the Bible says that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law were coming to the place in which they were giving. And the Bible says they were giving out of their abundance. But there was Jesus pulled the disciples. He says, now watch this widow woman. He said, she gave out of all that she had, which was one mite. And the Bible says that though she gave all she had, which was one mite, she gave greater than what they did out of their abundance because she gave from her heart. She gave from faith. Okay, so Jesus says, give me what you've got. Give me the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Come on, remember the woman, the widow woman and Elijah the prophet. He says, give me the oil that you've got and give it to me. Honor the man of God and watch God turn this around and by faith and begin to bless you. Okay, so Jesus, watch this. Jesus took the little that they had and he blessed it. Your Bible says he took it, held it up to heaven. He blessed it. And he gave it back to them and commanded them to distribute the need. And it ended up being pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In other words, it met every need and then some, because your Bible says that there was an abundance left over even after the supply. So don't miss this, guys. Here's where I'm going to close with this. Well, I challenge you today, if you've never made a covenant with God in your finances, if you'll step out in faith, you watch. God will, somebody said, and I've heard this so many times, well, brother, you don't know my bills. Listen, I'm going to tell you, friends, there's been times in my life, I stand before God and I tell you the truth today. If my wife was here, she'd verify and she'd testify the same. There was times when we had more bills than we had paycheck. But we still honored the Lord and we still tithe. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how God did it, but he, every single time, he would come through with us and we made it through. Listen, and I can't remember, to my memory, there was never a time we were delinquent on a payment, on a house payment, on a car payment. Never. God always came through and supplied our need. I'm going to tell you, friends, if you'll honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase, if you'll begin. Now listen, if you've got a home church, you honor that church, you honor that pastor, and you tithe, okay? Now, if this is your home church, I want to challenge you to tithe. If this is your ministry, this is your storehouse, this is where you get fed, you begin to sow into this. Watch God, watch what he'll do. Listen. We're not pulling people out of church. We're not doing that stuff. I don't believe in that stuff. That stuff's goofy and it's unethical and it's not what we do. What I'm trying to tell you today, guys, is I'm trying to show you a principle how to keep the windows of heaven over your life open and you be blessed and not only just in your finances, not only just in provision, but I'm telling you, I showed you these principles from Jacob's life and I showed you other principles where God will meet your need. And here it is. It's not about you, but it's about you being a blessing to others. Listen, you can go out and you can pay off somebody's... Listen, how awesome would that be to be able to pay off somebody's home or pay off somebody's vehicle or pay off somebody's debt, or to bless somebody who's poor, bless somebody who's needy, or to write a check and it wouldn't hurt you to sow into a minister, do this or do that. Guys, listen, we prayed that for years and years and years, and we always believed. We said, God, if you'll bless us and you'll do this, then we'll begin to do this. And God progressively began to bless us and encourage us to do these things. So guys, again, if he did it for me, he did it for these men of God, he'll do it for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that took the time out to watch this by Facebook, by YouTube. And I believe, God, in these principles, or I wouldn't teach them, God. And I've seen what you've done in my life. And I thank you for what you've done done in my life. And I thank you, Father, that you are a God who never fails. Lord, your word says, I've seen the psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg of bread. The young lions do lack therefore, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So Father, I thank you, Father, that as these individuals begin to make a covenant with you, Lord, I thank you that you're going to do exactly what your word says. You'll open the windows of heaven and pour them out blessing that they have not room enough to receive. Lord, when people begin to lose jobs, they'll keep theirs. And if they lose theirs, they'll get a better job. Lord, I thank you, Father, that all the provision will be met. Lord, I thank you that you'll sustain them. Lord, I thank you that you'll bring protection to them. You'll bring favor to them. Lord, even in the little things, God, Lord, the little things, the little blessings, it doesn't always have to be the great big things, but the little things, Lord, they could be spared in this car wreck. They could do this and do that. And it's not about the money, God, but it's about our heart. You said where our heart is where our treasure is where our heart is. Lord, and I thank you, Father, that you're giving people the revelation of this right now in Jesus' name. And for those who've already covenanted with you, I thank you, God, for their testimony. I thank you for their blessing. And I thank you that you're multiplying the seed to the sower, that they can give more to the work of the kingdom of God, and they can be a blessing to who you've called them to be a blessing to. They can finance that missionary. They can give to the poor. They can give to the needy. They give to the orphans. And I thank you, God, that you're the God who brings the poor out of the dunghill and sets him among princes. This is what your word says. And I thank you that you're no respecter of persons. And if you did it for those, you can do it for us. And you did it for them, you can do it for them. And I thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, guys, listen, we're going to, again, we always encourage you to subscribe to our ministry, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, subscribe or bookmark the site. Again, if the Lord speaks to you and this is your storehouse, this is where you get fed, this is where you get encouraged, then by all means, again, be obedient to the Lord, sow into this ministry. Listen, I'm not going to make you any kind of false promises, because I am not one of those hyper-prosperity gospel preachers that's going to make up a bunch of goofy stuff and make you false promises that if you'll sow X amount of dollars, then God is going to do X amount of things in X amount of time. Because first of all, I can't put that demand on God. But I will tell you this, that based upon his word, that when you give, regardless if it's in our ministry or if it's in the ministry that God's put you and connected you with, you're going to be blessed, and God is going to open the windows of heaven over your life. So again, we do want to give you the opportunity to sow into this ministry if the Lord puts it on your heart. Covenant with us. Again, if this is your home church, again, be obedient to the Lord. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. Again, we want to give you the mailing address. We're going to put that up. The physical mailing address. Sorry, guys, it is getting late. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, and that's 47131. Again, that's End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, and that's Clarksville, Indiana, and that is 47131. We're going to put that up so you guys can have that information as well. So we love you guys. Again, we'll be back on here tomorrow, and we'll do a live prayer segment. So don't miss that. We've got a lot of needs and a lot of petitions. So we love you guys. Have a good night. Hope you were blessed by this message. We'll see you soon.